As I said, I'm two-thirds of the way through the trifecta this morning, so if anyone's ever put a bet down at the TAB on a trifecta, you know when 1, 2 come in, you sort of, come on, number three. So here we are, we're at the number three today with the 10:30, and it just really feels like coming home. It really does. If you don't know who I am, my name is Guy, and I was the youth worker here from 2010 through to the very end of 2012. And during my time here, I very much sat over here where these guys are sitting, and so it's great to see that those pews are still filled with young people, right? Yep, go on, there we go, Shirley, come on. But I've found myself shifting over to this side now, where, I don't know how that happened, it just kind of, I guess it's the net, but it's just really church, isn't it? Like, what was awesome was that I got to actually look across this side and see that this is still full. Now that I'm over on this side, and this side too is also full. And then I started looking around, and I thought, this is just amazing, because I thought, you know, there's people like Nikki and Scotty and me and Kat and Micah here, and we're all part of this kind of age bracket where the people older than us kind of brought us through. And then I sort of looked across this side, and I thought, well, you know, here we've got like Adam Frank and Stephen and Joe Hans and Mikey, and those are the kids that were like in my youth group when I was like the youth leader there. And now they're just here with their crew of people and bringing them through. So look around, Karori, you're doing it, you're doing the mahi, you're doing the hard work when it comes to like telling people about Jesus, doing the good work, discipling your young people, and it's the truth. So just a reinforcement that you guys are phenomenal and it doesn't go unnoticed, so keep up the good work. As you know, you guys sent me out in 2012, at the end of 2012, because I fell in love with a lady and I got married. And then I moved to Cambodia to be with Summer, and just to kind of bring you up to speed, because it's been a while since we've kind of been here. We came when we had our children to be baptized, but we didn't give you a full download. Summer was working in anti-trafficking work, working with girls who had come out of the sex trafficking industry, working to counsel them and bring about trauma therapy and kind of bring them into a life worth living so that they are not having to deal with overwhelming trauma for the rest of their lives. That was done in an intensive kind of shelter environment. And then, of course, there was kind of a graduate program to that where there was sort of less intense, more freedom, but still enough security around them to be able to kind of progress through life. And then the hope and the dream is that then they go from there into a fullness of life where they are not running around feeling traumatized and, you know, not able to live in the fullness of life, to be able to go about doing life. In there, we hope that they know Jesus in some way, shape, or form, but that they're able to get a job, build a family, and live in the world that they should be able to live in. So that was what Summer was up to for a majority of our time in Cambodia. She moved around a little bit and moved from one place into a more consultancy role, where she was able to sort of take information that was learned and gathered over many years and share it with art organizations, which sadly sometimes isn't the thing that always happens, because people want to hold on to the knowledge that they have. But this was an opportunity for us to share all of that. So that was in 2013 when I arrived. I started learning language about a year and a half. And then at about that time, we started having number two and number three in our family. And when that started happening, we did a bit of a shift in our family, and I took on a bit more of a ministry role, while Summer stayed at home with the kids and did a little bit of part-time work. And my role was to work with the Anglican Church of Cambodia. I became the youth director for the Anglican Church of Cambodia, working to kind of provide a platform and a foundation for youth ministry in the country of Cambodia within the Anglican Communion. How do we, when the population of Cambodia is 80% under the age of 30, how do we as a church, A, jump on the forefront of what God is doing, and B, be ready for that when it happens? Because it's one thing to say, yeah, God's going to move, but it's another thing to be actually ready for when that actually happens. And so how do we go about that? So I spent a number of years listening, learning. I used my language so that I wasn't just kind of that white savior that came in and was like, hey, I'm white and educated and I can like help you out. But like, actually, how do we dig deep into, I want to know you and I want to hear what you've got to say, and I want to learn how we can kind of contextualize maybe some of the youth ministry practices that I know that could help this kind of country and this culture, and how do we establish some systems in here without being just kind of, I know everything and let's do it. And so that was what I got up to for a few years. I put together a foundation report for the diocese or the deanery of Cambodia about how we might be able to build foundations, how we might be able to set the church on a solid platform to be able to say, when God starts to move and our people start to tell people about Jesus and it's going, how's that going to look? And so we worked in that place and we worked in those systems. And then it was about 2016, the end of 2016, beginning of 2017, that the Lord blessed us with the full adoption of our son Isaac, or Perum to some of you. And we then, for the first time in our family, got to say, hey, God, where do you want us? We'd never been able to say that. We'd never been able to ask that question because we couldn't go out of the country, couldn't take our whole family out of the country. But for the first time, we could. And so it was like, God, where do you want us? Do you want us in Cambodia? Because we'll do that. It'll be hard. I'll probably hate it for a little bit. It's hot. We would like argue with each other at 3 o'clock in the afternoon every day because that's what we would do because it's so hot. But Lord, if that's what you want, we'll stay. And so then we asked that question, and then we asked, maybe you have somewhere else for us to go. Maybe some other bizarre country, we'll learn a new language and do something else. Or what is it that you have for us? And there was this one day that Summer and I, we all, as a family, as we do, we all go to church. But this one day, our children got sick. And so Summer stayed home with the kids, and I went to church with Isaac. And our children never really sleep at the same time, but on this day, they all slept at the same time. And Summer said to me, when I got home, she said, God, you'll never believe it. The girls slept at the same time, and I got some peace and quiet to myself. And it was amazing. And I thought, great. She said, I resisted the temptation to watch Netflix. And I was like, great. And I said, what did you do? And she said, well, I prayed to the Lord. And I thought, wow, you're very Christian. I would have just watched Netflix. Anyway, so she said to me, like, I've just been digging in and asking this question, where do you want us? And she said, I feel like the Lord is calling us to be missionaries in New Zealand. And I was like, really? Really? It was just bizarre. It was the most bizarre feeling because it was like, for ages I had been unable to kind of understand some weird kind of like gut-wrenching kind of insecurity of like, what is going on here? Suddenly when Summer, my American wife, said, let's move to New Zealand as missionaries, I was like, that is on one hand the most bizarre thing I've ever heard in my life, and on the other hand, that is exactly what we should do. And I just sort of thought, why would anybody in New Zealand want to support me as a missionary in my own country? Right? And then I thought, why would anybody in America want to support me as a missionary in New Zealand when they want to go on a holiday there? I just couldn't quite figure it out. And so then we called up our mission agency, SAMS, in America, and they're a partner with NZCMS, and we called them up and we said, hey, look, guys, we really feel like God's calling us to New Zealand. And they said, oh, yeah, we saw this coming. And I thought, well, thanks for telling me. You know, like, cheers. You know, that's awesome. You could have called us up and said. But that's the grace of God, isn't it? When you are discerning and you are praying and you are leaning into something, that somebody else is also feeling and praying that with you too. And so we decided to follow the track of what does it look like for us as a family to move back to New Zealand. And so we called up NZCMS and said, hey guys, we just want to give you a courtesy call that we're thinking about moving back to New Zealand. We're trying to follow this. What does this look like? You know, this is your turf. You know, Church Missionary Society's been here for years. Maybe there's something going on. Maybe there's something we could engage with. But anyway, we just had this lovely conversation and it was fine and nothing came from it. Then a couple of days later, Steve Miner, the director of NZCMS, now the Bishop of Nelson, sent us an email and he said, you know, I've been praying. I can't get you off my heart. And there's something that I've been wanting to do for years and it's a bit outrageous, but we've never been able to really A, afford it, or B, have the people to do it. And he said, would you consider being mission mobilizers for youth and young adults in the Diocese of Wellington? And Summer and I looked at each other, and when we read it more in depth, it had every single thing that we had asked God for in a role in New Zealand if we were to move back there. And I looked around at Summer, and she's just like bawling her eyes out, and I was like, this is amazing. And then at the bottom it said, please pray about it, and then let me know. And I said to Summer, how long do you think it takes before the allotted amount of time before it's appropriate that we reply? Like, you know, kind of thing. I think we gave him half a day. And then we said, we're in. And so we said we were in. And then I had a chat to Bishop Justin too. And I thought, how am I going to tell him that I've committed to this other thing? And And then what does this look like? And so we had this big decision. And it turns out that NZCMS and the Wellington Diocese have been scheming for a few years about how do we get some people into this diocese to mobilize youth and young adults for global mission. Hey, voila, here we are. Hey, and we've been back since 2018, and it's been absolutely phenomenal. And I think this is kind of where the rubber meets the road for us and for what we're up to and for you as a parish and for everyone that's been involved in supporting us over these years. So in the beginning of 2018, we were looking at each other and we were thinking, man, how on earth do we mobilize young people for global mission? How do we do that? What does that look like? And so we started throwing around a few ideas, and then we dreamed up this idea that how about we take a gap year experience and we turn that into something that's completely worth it, radically life-changing, and gives you a springboard into the life that you're going to live for many years to come. Gap years are a part of our DNA as New Zealanders. I remember going to the guidance counsellor when I was at school, and I don't know for you guys if it's still true, but you used to go to the guidance counsellor and they'd say, do you want to go to university, do you want to do a trade, or are you going on a gap year? And those were your options. And so, you know, for summer, you can just like go to Mexico or go to Canada. Like, that's just the reality. For us, you have to really go. And so when you're going to go, you're really going to go. And so it became a part of who we are as New Zealanders. Do you want to, you know, Camp America or boarding school in Europe? Or maybe you go full hog and you go full outrageous and you do a Contiki in Europe and it's all outrageous and you're like, you know, I don't know. You choose. And so we thought, how do we create something that is A, outrageous, adventurous, scratches the itch of seeing the world, but stands for something more and says, actually, God has something for your life, and we want to incorporate all that together. And so all that being said, we developed Better World Gap Year, which is a 10-month experience for young adults to be able to dig deep into big issues around social justice, what God's doing in the world, how that all marries up with the gospel, and then, of course, scratching a major itch of adventure, radical fun, meeting new people, seeing the world, and seeing what God's got in store for them. It goes across Fiji, Cambodia, and New Zealand and digs deep into big issues of social justice. I've actually allotted enough time in this space for someone to come and share because actually we've got someone in the house who is on Better World Gap Year this year. So this is Katie. Give her a hand as she comes forward. Maybe just use the... Can we just get the handheld on? Is it on already? Or?
It should be on.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. Hi, everyone. It was late last year. I'd done all my applications for uni. I was all sorted. And then I went to a youth group camp, and I had a conversation that shook my world a bit, as you can see. So I've always loved learning, and I always knew uni was on the cards because of that. But I suddenly felt really deeply challenged, probably more than I've ever been before, that for me personally, not dissing uni as a whole, but going to uni straight after school, I was doing it just because it was kind of the done thing. I was just kind of going with the flow. And taking a gap year, I was challenged, would actually be a really powerful way of kind of opting out of that bit of a rat race and instead having a real paradigm shift and saying, okay, God, this is my life. What should we do with it? And I started floundering a bit then because I had quite strict criteria of what I wanted that year to look like, and I wasn't too sure I'd find something. So then I had a kind of spontaneous conversation with a family friend, and they happened to have seen on the back of Justin Duckworth's hoodie this Better World logo, and they mentioned that to me, and from there, everything kind of fell into place in the space of about a week. So I met with Summer Benton, and I deferred my scholarship. I even got my parents on board, and I'd say that was about the quickest big decision I've ever really made, and that was simply because it felt so right for me. So now it's 9 months on, and wow, it's been a wild ride. To start with, as an only child, it's felt like a real crash course in doing life with others, which has had its challenges but has been the source of so much joy and so many crazy stories that I should probably keep to myself some of them. And those 5 weeks in Fiji, they were the first time I'd actually lived in a non-Western context, and yeah, that was a quite steep learning curve in processing and learning to engage in ways of living that are so different to my own. So I felt I did a lot of maturing there. And then as for the last 4 months we've spent in Wellington, the content we've covered there, as Guy mentioned, those four social justice issues of urban poverty, ethical consumption, climate change, and refugees and migration issues, I think I'm still quite seething over all the injustice, but also buzzing about all the hope. Because we've had quite a unique experience of seeing just how New Zealand society, New Zealand politics, our environment, our refugee quota and supply chains, and even our very selves are all very incredibly messed up. But we've also been really privileged in meeting the people and the organisations who are leading the way towards, yeah, a better world in all of these areas. And just, yeah, seeing behind the scenes there, hearing from some incredible people, and most excitingly probably seeing how we could play a part of that. So, yeah, I guess we all know that this world isn't all sunshine and rainbows, but I think this year has been really opening our eyes to just what the world is really like. I guess truth is the word that resonates. And while that can be quite overwhelming and depressing at times, the key thing is that we've learnt along the way, in Fiji especially, and in Wellington as well, that we have got a God with us who is keen as beans to see more restoration and hope and justice in the world. And, yeah, so next year, the degree that I'm doing is not going to be wildly different to the one I was going to do this year, but the key thing that's changed is my worldview and my outlook. And it's hard to describe exactly how that has changed, but I think I just describe it as so much more, yeah, fuller, more resilient, more, a heck of a lot more aware of what the world is actually like, and in that, more than ever, being just really reliant on God. So in 48 hours or something,
I'll be on
the plane to Cambodia. And I can't really explain what that's going to look like because I'm not too sure, partly because of all the differences, but yeah, it's going to be wild. And I think I don't really know quite how I feel about it either, because there's this strange mix of apprehensive but also very prepared, a little terrified and just incredibly excited. But overall, I'm just really looking forward to coming back here in maybe about 5 months' time and coming with so many wild and wonderful stories and hopefully some more wisdom to share with you. And I reckon I'll be a bit of a different person by then. So, yeah, thank you, and yeah, thank I'll see you then.
Yeah, well done. You know, there are 6 phenomenal young adults on Better World this year, and people are signing up for next year. And I think just to kind of not hold, I mean, I could talk for hours to you guys. We don't have hours. You want to get home for lunch, I get it. But like the reality is this church, this parish has been supporting Summer and I for so long, financially and prayerfully. And I said to the 8 o'clockers and the 9 o'clockers, I said, sometimes it feels like, well, where on earth is my money going? My prayer's even landing. Like, I've got a picture on my fridge. Maybe they send out a newsletter. Not very often. We're terrible at it. So, you know, you're on the list, sorry. But like the reality is that being a part of our lives for so many years and continuing to be a part of our lives and being on the walker with us and now on the walker with people like Katie, it holds our hand to the fire that we are hearing the stories about what God is doing in the world. It makes it bigger than just us. It is bigger than who we are in this room. We are making disciples for Jesus. We are capturing the people. We are saying we're going on this journey together, and we're doing it. Jesus, in our reading this morning, was praying in earnest and such zeal for his disciples because he loved them. That is what you have been doing for years for us. Praying that the world doesn't eat us. Praying that we stay the course. We are now doing that for the crew on Better World this year. We are now doing it for these guys here. We are doing it because we love them. We are doing the mahi together. It is important that we are all on this waka, that we are praying for each other, and we are part of this journey that God has got called for us. young families, youth, local mission, global mission. We've got to tell the stories, people. We have to tell the stories about what God is doing. And that is why I'm here today, to tell you that God is moving in this country and around the world, through Better World, through us, through Katie, through the other five people that are on this journey, through you. And we need to keep telling each other what is going on, because if we don't, we forget and we lose sight and we wonder what on earth this whole thing is about. So let us take the prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples and pray it over each other always and continually, so that we may be encouraging each other and continuing to disciple each other.